You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Tough week one loss for the Dallas Cowboys, and life continues to get worse for Big D. It is Chris Carlin on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Thank you for joining us. 888-SAY-ESPN, my friends. 888-729-3776. That is where you can be a part of ESPN Radio Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation presented by Dr. Pepper. College football is back, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Tag the toe, zip the bag, close the drawer. The season already might be in the tank for the Cowboys. All right, maybe, just maybe, that is overstating the situation just a bit. But maybe not. This is time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. So DeMarcus Lawrence, in case you haven't heard, is out for an extended period of time, 6 to 8 weeks, because he broke his foot in practice on Wednesday. This was an absolutely debilitating injury for the Cowboys defense. And not just because he broke his foot, but because Randy Gregory is still trying to find a way to test positive for Sunday. Once again, Jerry Jones is running all over the place trying to get a positive test and get a clean COVID sample from somebody. What tells me that the Cowboys' traveling secretary may not be able to make the game on Sunday, but somehow Randy Gregory will. Maybe they'll be switching some samples. Look, DeMarcus Lawrence being out, I don't have to tell you how much that hurts this Dallas defense. Hit 5 tackles and a forced fumble this past week. He had the offseason back surgery, 3rd time in the last 6 years to clear up an issue that had pain shooting down his legs last season. And now with Gregory facing the Los Angeles Chargers now, they could be in some big trouble. Now, I went back and took a look. All right, what do the Cowboys need to do to actually salvage their season against a very, very good Chargers offensive team? Well, let's take a look at what the Washington football team did this past week. You know, you look at the Chargers offensive line, they really only had 2 good performances, and the rest of them were pedestrian. 2 of their linemen were graded over 70 and in the top third of linemen in the league by Pro Football Focus for their performances. Now, Washington only had 2 sacks and 5 hits on the quarterback this past week. Again, I would remind you, up front, that is Daron Payne, that is Jonathan Allen, that is Chase Young, and that is Montez Sweat. That is 4 consecutive first-round picks spent on defensive line. And as a result, they have all panned out so far. And Washington has one of the best defensive fronts in the league. So for the Chargers, who the Cowboys played this Sunday, that was an outstanding performance to not get Justin Herbert hit very much. There were 2 other main things. That really happened to limit the Chargers offense, even though Justin Herbert still threw for 337 yards. Number one was the fact that they were able to limit the Chargers to rushing the football at just 3.1 a carry. Austin Eckler's a very good back, but he is somebody that needs to get the football out in some space to make plays. That's why he's so valuable in fantasy football, especially if you have a PPR league, because you know Austin Eckler is going to be targeted out of the backfield quite a bit. But with carrying the football, he'll get some volume, but they can be limited, especially when they're trying to run the football inside, and they were this past week. And the other thing they did is they made Justin Herbert work for everything. They took away the big plays. Is Dallas capable of doing that against Herbert with potentially without their two best defensive linemen. You know, Herbert last week only hit three plays that were more than 20 yards, and they were barely more than 20 yards. You know, he had to throw for 337 yards on 47 attempts. In other words, they made him work for every last yard that he had to get. Yes, that meant that it was about trying to just minimize the opportunities in terms of giving up the big plays, but it meant more that they may have the football for a long time. Guess what? They did. 36 minutes. 36 minutes in that game. So factor all that in, right? Think about this. Herbert threw for 337. They had the football for 36 minutes, and Herbert only got knocked down a total of 7 times in the game. And yet, the Chargers only scored 20 points. That's a long way of telling you that the Cowboys' defense is going to have an awful lot of work to do to try to at least slow things down. I don't know how they do that. Does Mike McCarthy know how they do that? Here's the Cowboys head coach on facing Herbert and that Chargers offense, which, as we know, is pretty potent. Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Eckler out of the backfield. They've got them all over the place. This was a long way, but more of an analytical way to tell you that the Cowboys will not be able to stop the Chargers this week, especially. They will not be able to stop them. So what do we come back to? What we have discussed all along. If Dallas is going to win a lot of games this year, it's going to be through shootouts. And so the offense is going to have to light it up. They're going to have to score 35 points to win games this season. Every week? No, not every week. This week? Yeah. Can you imagine for a moment? Paint a scenario where the Cowboys don't score 30 points in this game and they win. Does that scenario exist? It does not. Not if you're looking at things objectively. And so if you're without your best pass rusher for a total of 6 to 8 weeks, and then when Randy Gregory comes back, he's going to be getting the lion's share of attention up front. This is getting worse and worse by the moment for the Cowboys. 0-2, we told you what those numbers were. You don't want to fall to 0-2 because you only have an 11% chance of making the playoffs. The only thing that they have going for them is they play in the worst division in football. It will be a war of attrition in the NFC East all season long. You might win the division with 7 wins. You have to find your way to get to 7 wins now. It's getting harder and harder by the day. And I don't mean to sound like a hater, even though I am one. I'm just being real. That's what I do. I tell you the truth. And the truth is here, this is an exceptionally hard football game for Dallas to win. And I don't see it happening. That is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The other game that is just so intriguing this week features the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Ravens could not have had a worse last month. It's been even worse than the Cowboys has, because so many came out of the game last week for Dallas just feeling so giddy because we played so hard and played so well against the Buccaneers. We hung in there. We had great effort, but you lost with 4 turnovers and 100 yards and penalties. You've heard me say that more and more because I am astounded at how difficult it is to do that. But Lamar Jackson faces the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes for the 4th time in his career. Yes, he's got injuries to contend with. Yes, he's going up against Patrick Mahomes when on his own defensive side, he doesn't have his best corner and Marcus Peters. Yes, he has lost weapons all over the place in the backfield. At some point, Lamar Jackson actually has to beat Patrick Mahomes. I mean, let's not lose sight of what Lamar Jackson is and wants to be. He's already an MVP in this league, and he is somebody that you expect to be at the top of the league for a very long time and has not received that big-time contract as of yet. We talked about the fact that Jackson last week on Monday night, or the other night, I should say, coughed up the football three times and lost two fumbles. They play such a dynamic brand of offense, and he has to do a better job of protecting the football. It just can't be so wide open and the wild, wild east, I guess you'd say, with Baltimore, that you cannot play with reckless abandon on every single down. You are not Patrick Mahomes with the weapons that he has to work with and a newly revamped offensive line. You are not Patrick Mahomes. So you now have to figure out ways to beat him. Lamar Jackson can't out Mahomes Mahomes. Just to give you an idea of how the numbers have stacked up so far, in the three matchups between the two, all won by Mahomes, and not really blowouts here. Lamar Jackson is 50 of 95 in those three games, so a little bit over 50% for just 511 yards throwing the football, three touchdowns, no picks. And he's rushed for 196 yards and two touchdowns, 6.3 a clip. So not bad, right? You look at that and say, eh, okay. You know, the passing number's somewhat pedestrian. You know what Mahomes has done against him? Oh, he's only averaging over 375 yards per game. He's only got nine touchdowns and one interception, and it's 63%. So what is he doing? He is doing everything that he does against everybody else. That's what he is every week. And of course, a lot of it is going to be on your defense to slow him down. But if you're trying to beat him at his own game, you can't do that. That's a mistake. Yes, if you're Lamar Jackson, you're an exciting player in a different way. You have to out Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. You're not going to go out there and throw for 385 yards. That's not going to happen. Your best play in a game like this is just to find your way to be the absolute best version of yourself, because I have to tell you, Jackson is capable of being just as explosive at times as Mahomes is. He is. He absolutely is. If Lamar Jackson had Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, he'd be a much different player. He'd have just explosive numbers, but he doesn't. He doesn't have those games, those players. Marquise Brown has been an absolute disappointment for him. Mark Andrews is a nice player, but he's been a disappointment for him. You know, I love what Mahomes is, but if you flip-flop the two, we'd be talking about Lamar Jackson in that same vein. It's about the situation that you are in as well. So at one point or another, if you're going to prove yourself as an MVP, if you're going to prove yourself as somebody that can beat the great teams in the league and beat the great players in the league, you have to do it. He is 0-3 against Mahomes, 30-5 against the rest of the NFL. Here's Mahomes speaking about his counterpart this week on exactly how Lamar Jackson has improved. Look, Mahomes is going to have a healthy respect for what Lamar Jackson is, but he's still patting him on the head right now. Nice little effort, you know? I'm still winning. And until he actually beats him, you're going to deal with this narrative. And it only gets bigger and bigger and bigger along the way. You know that? So many people look at the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady matchups over the years, and they just automatically assume that Brady absolutely owned him. Actually, he had a losing record against Peyton Manning. Brady did. You need to remember that. This is going to be the next Brady Manning that we're going to be discussing for the next 10 years in this league. It's going to be Lamar against Mahomes. Because I do think that Jackson is going to find himself as an elite quarterback for a long time. This is not a flame-out situation. But after last week and coughing it up in some big spots, and after what has happened against Mahomes before, this is the week. Your team is on the precipice of falling to 0-2 on the year. You can't let this fall apart on you. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line on why the Cowboys are in deep, deep trouble this week and why Lamar Jackson, to be considered one of the greats, has to actually beat one of the greats this week. Pablo in Pennsylvania will start us off today. Pablo, what's up, brother? Oh, we just lost Pablo, who wanted to get into the Cowboys. And look, the point is simply this. With Dallas, you're going to have to find ways to make this happen with your great offense. Then you've got tonight, where the game and the week kicks off with the Giants and the Washington football team. And for both, it's an incredibly important game in so many ways. We've talked about the fact that the NFC East is awful. It is terrible. And while it won't necessarily end the season for either team, because there will be another division winner with 7 or 8 wins this year there, don't put yourself in that hole trying to climb out of it against the exceptionally average. Dustin in Florida is next on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Dustin, go.
Yes, sir. So I just got to say, man, I respect you and your show and your takes. I love them. But I have to say, I completely disagree with your Lamar Jackson prognostication there. I feel like he's already past his prime. Even if he had a Tyreek Hill and a Travis Kelce on his team, what's he going to do, run the ball and then hand it to him? I mean, he can't get the ball to any of his receivers. I just don't see.
Oh, I think that's completely unfair. I think that's completely unfair if you're going to sit there and say that he is not an accurate passer. I think he is an accurate passer enough, and he can make plays on the run by throwing the football. He's not Patrick Mahomes, okay? But Dustin, if you're going to prove that you're a great quarterback in the league and he's already won an MVP, you can't sit there and tell me that 3 years into his career, he is past his prime. Are you watching the guy play? Are you watching
another MVP?
Say that again?
Do you believe Lamar Jackson ever wins another MVP again?
I do. I absolutely do.
Wow.
I do.
Yeah. I just don't see him ever getting to Mahomes level, and I believe he's already past his prime. I think he's a system QB.
3 years into this his career, he's past his prime.
I believe that the league has already passed players and quarterbacks like him. I don't think he's going to be successful ever again.
Boy, I think you're nuts. I think you're absolutely nuts. This is somebody that 2 years ago was 36-6 touchdowns to interceptions. Last year, 26-9. All of the completion percentages are right around 65-66, and he's past his prime, and he's dead. And by the way, rushed for over 1,000 yards each of the last two seasons as well. But no, it's over for him. Wow. I think the wow in your diatribe there belongs to you. Because, wow, you don't know what you're talking about. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. You know what Thursday means, don't you? You have been warned. Because in moments, it's time for Carlin's Way. What is Carlin Twail? If you don't know, you're going to find out. It's good to see the teams back out on the gridiron. We know this. We're excited for it. We love it. And lucky for us, it was only week one. DraftKings is the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, and they are putting you at the center of the action for week two. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit by signing up using the code PLAY. Get in on the action now. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Download the DraftKings app now. Use code PLAY. This week, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter code PLAY. Get that free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code PLAY. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We take a stroll down Carlin's Way next on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
This is ESPN Radio.
Chris Carlin, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. 888-SAY-ESPN. Last week, we introduced you to a new philosophy in picking games. Because if you know me, you know that any other philosophy or approach in picking games in my career has just never worked. So last year, I mean, I've done it all. I've, you know, let the dog pick the games by putting treats next to each team. I've tried to actually break it down analytically. That doesn't work. I've actually tried to go the opposite. We call it the Costanza approach from Seinfeld. Go the complete opposite of what your instinct on a particular game is. We have tried it all. Nothing works. You can argue why. Some would be saying that it's because I'm a complete loser. That's up to them. I am not here to determine the reasons for it. But what I am here to do is to win. And so last year, I tried a new approach. It was, I am going to take the game. I am going to look up ridiculous facts about each city. And I am going to let that determine who I will select in that particular game with the spread. Last year, 59% of the time, I won. So we have to ride with this, do we not? ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, small business protection for more than vehicles, with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com. And so, this brings us to a segment that we call Carlin's Way. Alternate name, Locks of Incompetence. Now, by popular demand or request of Raj Groves and Bubba, we have decided that we will present both facts to those gentlemen because they wanted to know why I went with one fact over another last week and didn't present the whole case before making my pick. Some would say that I went 1-4 last week because maybe I didn't present all of it to them. So here we have it. Four games, interesting facts on each city. We will start with the Raiders and the Steelers, where the Steelers are 5.5-point favorites in Pittsburgh. Bubba, Raj, did you know that the Las Vegas Strip in Las Vegas is not actually in Las Vegas? It is actually in Paradise, Nevada. It is not in the city limits of Las Vegas. Fact one. Fact two, did you know that the Big Mac was invented in the suburbs of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
Wow.
Fact one, fact two, go. Raj, where should I be turning here?
Well, since I'm going to go check out my man Brandon at Circa in Vegas this weekend,
I was convinced the Strip was in Vegas, and I would have fought anyone if they said otherwise. So I'm going to have to go with the Vegas Raiders on this one. What you got, B?
I think I've heard that it's not in Vegas before. I think I knew that. Never heard the Big Mac. I'm going number two.
Well, I appreciate the input, gentlemen, but we do things a certain way on Carlin's Way. We roll with the Big Mac because, let's call it an icon in this country. Not that Vegas is not, but it's not the first time I've been fooled in Vegas.
I don't want to hear about that.
We ride with Pittsburgh. There's nothing unsavory about it. Come on. We ride with Pittsburgh. Game two, the Saints visiting the Panthers. The Panthers are 3-point favorite. Rather, the Saints are 3-point favorites on the road. Did you know that America's first mixed drink, the Sazerac, which is the official cocktail of the city of New Orleans, was created in a French Quarter bar by Antoine Péchaud. The Sazerac is traditionally made with a 1/4 ounce of absinthe, 1/2 ounce of whiskey or cognac, a sugar cube, and 3 dashes of bitters. America's first mixed drink. Okay. As for the city of Charlotte, my friends, I looked up the wrong fact here.
And yeah, I sense a stall going on.
Listen, it is not perfect on Carlin's Way, and that you should really know that by now.
I mean, it's tough to beat that first fact. I'm liking that one, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah. Okay. The fact on Charlotte is this. Did you know that Charlotte is the pimento cheese capital of the world? Bubba, we begin with you.
All right, I don't even know what pimento cheese is other than hearing about it at Augusta. Don't care about it. I like to drink. Going number one.
Okay. Bubba, Philistine that he is, makes the decision based on number one. Raj Grobes, what
yeah,
say
I'm
you?
Gonna have to go with mixed drink over cheese every day of the week. Give me the Saints and the 3 points.
Okay. Normally, I would agree with that exact philosophy. Cheese over mixed drink every day of the week. However, pimento cheese, I am out. Give me the mixed drink. Give me the Saints. That's where we ride on Carlin's Ooh. Way with New Orleans and Carolina. Game three, the Dallas Cowboys visiting the Los Angeles Chargers, where the Chargers are 3.5-point favorites. Did you know that German chocolate cake did not come from Germany? It was actually publicized in 1957, yes, in Dallas. A lot of people think German chocolate cake originated in Germany, but in actuality, it is named after the American chocolate maker Samuel German. So it comes from Dallas. Did you know that when Los Angeles was founded, the city's full name was El Pueblo de Nuestra Señora Reina de Los Angeles sobre el Rio Porricula? Your Spanish is a little bit rusty. That translates to the town of Our Lady Queen of the Angels on the Porricula River.
Ooh.
We will start with West Coast Raj to see if he rides with his home city.
Sí. Well, me hablo poquito español, so I will have to go with the Los Angeles Chargers, giving up to 3.5. I'll
Bubba,
pay them points all day.
German chocolate cake in Dallas?
Yeah, I mean, that Los Angeles fact is interesting and all, but you're telling me literally the German thing is not about German. So that's a complete curveball right there.
Yeah.
That is a fact, and I'm going Dallas.
And that's a guy. It's about a guy named German, no
yeah,
less.
There's no way anyone knows that.
Well, unfortunately, in this case, we ride with Los Angeles because I hate Dallas. even though I'm not supposed to do that on Carlin's Way, but I do what I want because it's Carlin's Way. Game four, Chiefs, Ravens, Kansas City, 3.5-point favorites. Did you know that Kansas City has more barbecue restaurants per capita than any other U.S. city? However, did you also know this in relation to that fact, that in the year 2003, I was being courted for a job in Kansas City and was flown to Kansas City. And for the two meals they took me out for, keeping in mind I'm from New Jersey, they took me out to Italian and seafood. I turned that job down. Why? Bad instincts. Can a brother get some barbecue or a steak? Come on. Baltimore, did you know that snowballs, which now are known as snow cones, were invented in Baltimore? They were originally served in a styrofoam cup. The shaved ice treat is doused with fruit syrup and is topped with marshmallow cream. Bubba, your take.
I don't care for snowballs, snow cones. I'll take actual snow. Don't care about the food. I do like barbecue. Anytime I'm in Kansas City, I'm stopping for barbecue. Kansas City Joe's, wherever it is, I'm going barbecue. Let's go.
Raj Grobes, what say you?
Not about the snow cones, all about the Italian water ice. You know what I mean back there. You in that Philly part of town. But, of course, I have Bubba's favorite, the electronic smoker, and I do a lot of barbecue in that. So I'm going with a barbecue and the Chiefs laying at 3.5.
The electronic smoker, also known as Famous Dave's Barbecue. For Bubba.
He is a fake smoker.
The fact that I turned down that job based solely on that fact, which told me that they had bad instincts, we ride with Kansas City this week. Those are your picks along Carlin's Way. Yes, it took a long way to get there, but deal with it because that's how we do it on Carlin's Way. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Goodyear Hotline. Up next, are we sure that Aaron Rodgers could just flip the switch this time? As the NFL season gets underway, make sure you're ready for kickoff with TuneIn, the app that lets you listen to live games, in-depth analysis, and tailored content for your team all season long. Plus, with ESPN Radio on TuneIn, you can listen to comprehensive football coverage from NFL Live, fantasy-focused football, and more, all to fuel your football fandom. Download the TuneIn app today to start listening everywhere you go. Can Aaron Rodgers turn it on, or is it just too late for him to be relying on that? It's next. Chris Garland, ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Garland, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Don't forget, we are brought to you by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Did you know about Progressive Insurance? The drivers who save with Progressive save over $700 on average. We spent a lot of time this week talking about Aaron Rodgers and the god-awful performance that we saw in Week 1 against the Saints. And when you're, 38, 39 years old, can you actually just flip the switch and all of a sudden, coming off a performance where you had a 13.4 quarterback rating, that you can just turn it on? I know there's been a lot written this week and a lot said by the Rodgers apologist, you know, John Kuhn out there this week saying that don't be surprised if he takes out all of his frustrations against the Detroit Lions on Monday night. Look, that very well could happen, and I'm frankly not going to think much differently of him if that does happen. However, I do think that Rodgers at this point, if you're going to rely on just being able to turn it on after last week when you didn't really show up for the game, that's playing a very dangerous game. An exceptionally dangerous game at this point. You are asking your body to respond that quickly. And even though you were so sharp in the preseason, that's a game that can do a little bit of damage against you. I expect Rodgers to play well against the Detroit Lions. That's like saying I expect the sun to come up tomorrow. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Rodgers is the kind of player that can just turn it on immediately when you're at that age. He is an all-time great. He is coming off an MVP season. But that was a thud to start the year. An absolute thud. You have to figure out, if you're Aaron Rodgers, what's important to you at this point. Is actually winning with the Packers something that is important to you? Because this past week, it appeared as if that was not the case. So figure it out and do it now. If you're going to flip that switch, let's see it. Monday night's a perfect time.